One of the, I think, the great pleasures of this life is when you love someone so much and you see them doing great things, or you see them succeeding, or you see them flourishing in some way, and it makes you so happy, and you're actually even more happy in your own heart that it's happening for and to them than if it were happening to you personally. And this happens all the time. We experience, especially in parenting, you don't have to just be a parent to have this experience, but it certainly takes place all the time when you've got kids and you see them doing well, and you are like, you're more joyful and more excited because of what's happening in their life than if that thing were happening to you. In the next month, a few of you will be graduating off your kids to the next level, like to out of kindergarten into grade school, or like out of high school into college. We had an opportunity to do that with our oldest son last summer. It was his graduation like week, and there was like all these festivities and things that were happening. And I promise you, it felt like one of the best weeks of my whole life. And I didn't do anything. I mean, all I did was like set up the tables for the party. I did nothing. And yet, what was the coolest thing? It was like the most life-giving week, just to watch people getting to speak over my son and his, all the things that he was accomplishing and doing and going to the next level, and the words that were being spoken over him. It was super fun and amazing. It was like an incredible experience. I remember one time, my oldest daughter, she was in the seventh grade. The varsity basketball team, high school varsity basketball team, was short of players. They brought my seventh grade daughter up to play in a varsity basketball game with them. And with 7 seconds left, my daughter in the seventh grade hit a 15-foot jump shot to win the game. And I jumped out of my skin, I promise you. And I was more excited for her than if it had been even for me. That's that experience of when you care about someone else so much and want to see the best, the most, the supreme for them. It's one of the great experiences of life. This letter is what that is. This letter written by the Apostle Paul is a longing for people to experience the supreme, the best. It is a pastoral heart, a letter from a shepherd. Colossians is a letter from a shepherd who just wants people to experience the supremacy of Christ and the supremacy of life in him. And the problem is they were missing it. They were missing the fullness. And he did not want that for them. He wanted them to experience all that they were meant to have by treasuring the Supreme One and being found in the Supreme One. And they were being confused, and they were being confounded by the philosophies that were operating in the midst of that day. They had been lied to, and the world was effectively trying to steal at what God had given them. Meaning they had received this powerful word that your life can be broken. You could be lost, be in pain, sadness, misery, and you can be scooped up and ransomed and rescued and washed and cleaned and set free and given hope, and not just hope in the here and now, but hope eternal. That is the gospel message. You can be a wreck and be wrapped up and cared for and loved and moved. And that's what they had received. And the world was like wolves picking at this truth. And the Apostle Paul is writing this letter under the inspiration of the very Spirit of God to this church and then now to us. And he was effectively saying, not today. We're not doing this. We will stop. what is being stolen, these lies from the enemy that would steal from the pure and rich joy that you and I get from being found with the Supreme One, what we were always meant to have. And what was amazing is that Paul had never even met these people. Paul hadn't even ever been to Colossae in all of his journey and his journeys, his three missionary journeys and his travels. He never actually had shown up to Colossae, but one of his guys, one of his boys, one of his disciples, this guy named Epaphras, he had gone to share the gospel with those in Colossae, and they had responded to him. And he had such a heart for them, even though they had never even seen each other face to face, but he wanted them to not lose the power of what the gospel actually means for our lives. And so he writes this letter to them to say, rise up and get what you were meant to have with God. Don't get stuck in this muddled halfway Christianity that is so prevalent. Now, just let me give you some context for what these people are. This city, Colossae, is just this small little town in Asia Minor in the Roman Empire. It's now in what is modern day Turkey. It's located 100 miles inland from Ephesus. So Ephesus is right on the coast in the Mediterranean, the Aegean Sea. And if you go 100 miles due east, you find this little town called Colossae. It's right next to Laodicea and Hierapolis. These are other cities you'll hear about as you read the scriptures. And the church gets planted by this brother named Epaphras. But listen, just like every other church, that the word of God is like rooted in them, but they are fighting with all sorts of modern ideas about who Christ was and who Christ wasn't, and all these other philosophies that were supposedly superior to Jesus. And there were all these forms of Christianity that were being woven with these broken, empty, even pagan ideas. And there were even some who would take Christianity and say, yeah, that's okay, but you also got to do this legalistic and this ritualistic thing, and you've got to observe these things, and if you don't do this and you don't do that, then you can't be holy and you can't be free. And so they tried to wrap Christianity up in all these rules and regulations, and then still yet you had a whole nother group of people that were known as the Gnostics, or those who followed Gnosticism, which is just this form or philosophy that characterizes all flesh as evil. Like if there's anything of the body, it's broken. And the only way you can ever actually be saved is through knowledge and mysticism and wonder. And the only ways that you can experience full life is to get away from the flesh. So you can do effectively whatever you want to with the flesh. It doesn't really matter what you do in this life. It doesn't matter what you do with your body. You can treat it how you want to. You can choose. You can eat anything. You can be with anyone. You can do anything you want to because the body's irrelevant. It's all about knowledge. And they took this philosophy that satisfied their craving for the flesh, and they tried to weave it into Christianity. And because of this belief that all things of the here and now was evil or broken, then the idea that the God who made us would come in the flesh and be among us, they would not and refused to get their eyes and their hearts around this truth. It was the idea to make God weak by somehow giving him flesh. And so they explained away the deity of Jesus. They said, well, no, Jesus was a good person, but he certainly wasn't God in the flesh. No God would be in the flesh. And then there were those that said, well, God, that Christ, yes, came and he was fully God, but they would try to pull him off the throne. And they would say, well, Christ is good, but he's not supreme. And in summary, effectively what they were doing is what you see happening today, which is we'll take some form of Christianity, but then we'll fashion it into our own image. We like some ideas about Jesus, but he can't say this about my sexuality, or he can't say this about my heart, or he can't say this about my family, or he can't say this about how my heart is meant to operate in the culture and the world around me. We get to choose my own way. So we get to fashion God. We've been doing it from the beginning. We fashion God in our image. And that's what the people were doing in the context of this church. And Paul saying, no, not even for a second will I allow you to ruin the power of the gospel with your own thoughts and your own ways and your own philosophies, to degrade what is beautiful and supreme and glorious and is being given to us. And that's what he's calling us to. And so as this thing is churning in the heart of God for this people, Paul writes this letter. And as you and I just read, he gives us this incredible, radical prayer. He prays this over this people. It comes right from the Spirit of God to the Apostle Paul for the church at Colossae and to us today. And God gives him this prayer, and you'll see it, by the way, it was called one of the apostolic prayers. You'll see it in almost all of Paul's letters that he writes. He starts with these prayers, these apostolic prayers. And he's saying, here's a prayer that is necessary for you to thrive. What I'm going to pray over you is what you will need to rise up above all the sniping and the wolves and everyone that is trying to steal from the fullness of the gospel over your life. And of course, every time we have a recorded prayer in Scripture, it's actually just a prophetic picture of what God wants to have with us. Say that again. When you see a scripture, a prayer being prayed through the Word of God, it is a promise. It's what God wants to accomplish, wants to have, wants to do in and through and over our lives. It's a picture of what he wants us to have with him. And so this prayer exists to make our heart ready for what God wants to do over us and in us. And so what I want to do is this. We'll take the last 15 or 20 minutes we have here to just break this prayer down. I only got through half of it in the first service. So if you guys will be more cooperative, we'll get through this, okay? That means laugh at my dumb jokes. I need you guys to dial it in. All right. What I want to say is this. What this prayer that we're about to break down, I want to challenge, and I'm challenging myself, is that you would regularly pray this prayer for the next 5 weeks over your life and over your home and over your spouse and over your children. And you'll take this prayer and pray it over the whole of your life. And we're just going to get into the fullness of this prayer. But my challenge, and I would tell you, say daily do it. But some of you type A's, if you miss a day, you're like, you know, you mess up. All right. So if you don't, do it daily, but regularly take these next verses and pray them over your life for the next, I think we're going to try to do this series in 5 weeks, which might be foolish, but that's what we're going to try. And here's what Paul says. He says, I'm going to pray this I'm praying this regularly. I don't stop praying. And so we're just going to build a scaffolding of a prayer. This is a prayer to experience the supremacy, supreme above all, the supremacy of Christ and a supreme life that is found in him. That's what this prayer is aimed towards. So if you want to treasure Christ above all and to experience what it means to be hidden in the one who is above all, then I want to encourage you to pray this prayer regularly. So here's how it goes. Look there back in your Bibles in verse 9. It says, here's what the Spirit of God is praying. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Pause. So we're praying that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. In other words, God, would you grant me to see and to know your ways and your words? They are supernatural and have life for me. Let me know your ways and words because they are supernatural and they have life for me. Listen to me. This prayer is more than, okay, God, help me make good decisions. That is not the fullness of this part of this prayer. Or give me some wisdom on where to go or what to do, or you know the future, so help me not mess this up too bad. That is not what this is. This is a prayer to say, God, I need to see the full scope of my life, myself, my past, my present, my future through your sovereign lens that is way up here, not stuck down here. In other words, it's an invitation into seeing the world and to see your own life in a radically different way. Not in the way that someone else sees your life, not in the way that your mama sees your life, in the way that the Father above sees your life. Meaning, help me find you in my story. Even the broken parts of me, let me see the full scope of this life through spiritual eyes, greater eyes, your eyes. In other words, the prayer is, okay, God, what do you have to say about me? What do you have to say about you? What are your words? What is your truth? And bring me up to it. Where is your hand on my life? Where were you in those broken places before? Seeing the whole scope of our lives, even the broken parts. God, where were you even in my darkest moments? Help me see. Bring me up. When you asked to see and know the will of God, we're not just asking, should I turn left or right here? What we're saying is, I need to know what you have to say over the entire scope of my life. I want understanding, spiritual wisdom and understanding. Because I've been through some things that maybe I don't understand. You ever been there before? Of course you have. We all have. Been through something where you're like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. This is the invitation to get access to the Father who is promised to work for your good and my good, even through the pain. It's the echo of the prayer that he prays in Ephesians where he says, open the eyes of my heart to see. It's a song we've sung, or we sung it a lot in the 90s anyway, right? It says, have the eyes of my heart enlightened. How many of you know your heart has eyes? What is this? Meaning you have eyes on the scope of your life and the world around you, and I need them open to what you say. For you to come in and edit and reframe for the entire scope of my life. To understand who you are and your supremacy and what you are doing. Because I am tempted to get bogged down in garbage. And every day, the earth is beckoning you to stay bogged down in garbage. And Paul is praying by the Spirit of God, let me come up here and see. What are your words over my life? this is the most important thing about you. More important than being a mom or dad or a husband or wife, pastor or minister. More important than anything you will ever do, this is the most important thing. What does God say about you to you? You want spiritual wisdom and understanding? It is so much more than should we buy this house or buy that house. What does God say to you about you? That's what he's praying. There are some great stories often told in movies that are dedicated to this idea of seeing things in a way that you couldn't see them before. There's some person wondering, oh, if only this had gone this way and my life had taken this turn, if I had only done that, then everything would be so different. And then an angel comes or an angelic messenger comes and they, in the story or in the movie, they give you a glimpse into your life and if it was different in the ways that you think, and they show you a totally different, I'm talking about like It's a Wonderful Life. You know what I'm talking about? And all of you older ones are like, yeah. And all of you younger ones are like, what? Yeah. But it's this story in It's a Wonderful Life is the guy's going, my life is empty. It's meaningless. If I thought I was going to be able to do this, and I thought I was going to be able to do that, and I thought I was going to be able to pull the moon down, and I thought I was going to be able to do all of these awesome things and have all these awesome things, and my life stinks. And an angel shows up and says, you don't have any idea. Here is what you mean to the world around you. You don't even know. You can't see it, but I do. You can't see the meaningful of your life in this moment, but I do. That's what the Father's saying. You want to have a knowledge of the will and the plans and the purposes and the sovereign designs of God so that you don't get stuck in the muck and the mire thinking your life doesn't matter, and you get a chance to come up here and have the Father speak his words over you and lead you into fullness. That's what this prayer is. Don't get stuck. Come into fullness. So that you don't have to live, if only I could control this and fix that thing in the past and make that thing in the future go away. Nope. What is the Father saying over you? It's the most important thing about you and me. This prayer gets to align us. You want to know his will? Here it is. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Meaning, I've got so much greater and more. Come up here to get it. Don't stay down. Ask me for it. That's the prayer. Let me see. I don't know. I don't get it. If I look at the scope of my life, I'm angry, I'm hurt, I'm frustrated, I'm lonely, I'm afraid. But when I come up, God, you change everything. You change everything. It's the difference between doing religion, showing up to do church services, which is pathetic. Don't come to church and do church services. Get something real with God. That's what the Bible is saying. Don't do religion. Meet with the man who his ways are so higher than our ways. He can reintroduce us to the life we were meant to have with him. It's invitational. Do you hear that, church? So that, and this is, look at this. Look at the next part. Look at verse 10. so that your life gets to matter. You get to walk with him in this manner that's worthy of his name, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In other words, when you get his perspective, his higher ways over you, then you start vibing with him. God, I'm so cool and hip. I just said vibing. It's the prayer, God, grant me a life that is full of joy by being intertwined with you. I get to have a life that would touch the heart of God and touch the heart of the world around me. How cool is that? Hang on. How cool is that? That when you and I get his words, his word over us, we get to get into alignment. We get interwoven, interlocked, intertwined with him so that we touch the heart of God. This is amazing. This is an amazing thing. Maybe the coolest thing about the gospel is that you and I get to touch the heart of God, not from our good performance, being a good wife, being a good husband, being a good parent, not because you killed it today. You and I get to touch the heart of God because he pours out the righteousness of the Son of God over our lives. And when he looks at the Son, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You get that? What's better on this earth than the God who made you looking at you and saying, well done, servant? To which you might go, dude, you don't know my life. I'm a mess. I've messed it up so bad. I've fallen so short. I've fallen away from the Lord. I've walked away. I've sinned. I've done broken, horrible things. Listen, that this is the good news. If that's your story, and that's all of our stories, the good news is you can exchange every broken thing about you for the perfection of the Son of God so that your life becomes pleasing to him. Not because you're an awesome record, but because he has changed you from the inside out. This is the gospel. You don't know me? I'm a mess. No, I do know you. We're all a mess. And the Son of God, we carry his righteousness so you can be pleasing to God. And you can bear fruit, meaning we get to touch each other's lives. And your faith can encourage me. And your prayers can encourage me. And your hope can encourage me. And we get to do this with each other. Galatians 5 says, well, I want you to walk with the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. We all feel that pull. You feel the weight, right? They're opposed to each other to keep you from what's in your heart to have. But verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, then we get to just stay in step with the Spirit. In other words, every day we just get to do the dance. I wish I was a better dancer. All right. This is the call. Not for you to show up with your perfection, for you to show up Monday morning saying, God, what do you have to say over me? And can I walk with you today? Can I do the dance? Can I stay in step with you? Can I move with you? You move forward, I wanna move forward. And when you move back, I wanna move back. And when you move to the side, I wanna move to the side. That's the dance that gives our heart rest and touches the world around us. It says bearing fruit in every good work, meaning that the things you put your hand to, they're not empty. I don't know if you've ever had moments of your life, you're like, you're spinning your wheels and it feels empty. You can do work, empty. You can do your hobbies, empty. You can do parenting, empty. You can do all the things and it doesn't feel fulfilling. But when you are in step with the Spirit, you now have, your life matters. Why? Because you're bringing Him. You bring Him. We get to bring Him. Let me tell you what the world needs less of, Keith. The world needs less. That's what John the Baptist said. Less of me, more of you. We all look at John the Baptist. Jesus said, John the Baptist, greatest man ever born of a woman. That's a heck of a sentence to say about someone. You know what John's saying? Less of me, more of you. We need less of me. I need more Jesus, more King Jesus over my life. We all need that. We only got through half this. We got 2 minutes to pray this prayer. I want you guys to stand with me. We're just gonna pray half this prayer. And this is how we're gonna finish. Just a couple minutes. And if you would do this, just close your eyes. And I'm not gonna have you raise your hand or come forward. I just block out the rest of the world for a moment and do this with me. Just ask this question. Okay. Lord, what do you want to say to me about me right now? And if it helps you, if you can put your hands out to just receive from the Lord, you don't have to do this, but if it's helpful for you to posture, do it. And would you just ask this question? Right now, Heavenly Father, what do you want to say over my life? What do you want to say to me about me? What are His words, the words of a good father? Ask Him. I know your will and your ways, they're higher. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. I don't see it all, but you can tell me. You can show me. You can lead me. We're not here to do religion. We're not here to do services. We're here to meet with you. Ask Him. What do you want to say about me to me? Now, would you do this? Would you hand over any heavy thing? There's something heavy that's sitting on you. Maybe it feels like a ton of bricks. Would you hand it over to the Father? Jesus took it on the cross. He took every heavy thing. Would you hand it over to Him? My brokenness, my past, my present, my fears of the future. Would you offer it to Him right now as just an act of worship? It's a gift. Here's my heaviness. Here's my sin. Here's my shame. Here's my guilt. Here's my fear. Would you hand it? Give it to Him right now. And receive. In exchange for your heaviness, receive His glory. Fresh mercy. Let Him clothe you right now. Holiness, righteousness, purity, perfection. Receive it. This is what we do by faith. We thank you, God, that we get to walk in step with you. That's what we ask finally as we finish this morning. Can I walk with you tomorrow afternoon? Would you just ask Him that? Can I walk with you, stay in step with you, to live with you, to touch your heart? I want my life to touch your heart tomorrow. I bless you. Thank you for giving me hope. Finish with gratitude, Lord. Thank you, thank you. We'll finish this morning with, we'll have some prayer partners. If you want to come up, let us pray over you or encourage you. We'll have a few of them here. It'll be a blessing to you. I'm going to pray our benediction as we go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, see you, give you peace, peace, peace. In the name of the one who is able to do these things, we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. We will see y'all next week. Dismissed.